Aloha everybody, this is Eva Andrade. I am the president of Hawaii Family Forum and welcome to our Ohana podcast.
Aloha everybody, this is Eva Andrade. I'm the president of Hawaii Family Forum and I am sitting today with attorney Jim Hochberg, who can give you a little bit of background. Jim, you want to let people know who you are?
Sure, I'm a practicing attorney in Honolulu, been doing it since 1984, and since the late 80s have been working with various mainland law firms doing religious liberty stuff for the longest, since the 90s, with Alliance Defending Freedom, and we have a couple of cases pending here as we speak.
These local cases that happen here in Hawaii are no stranger to you. You've been dealing with some of these craziness in Hawaii. Before we get into Senate Bill 501 and its current status, let's back up a little bit. Let's talk about the case that you are still in the process of, I believe, on Phyllis Young and what's happening with her bed and breakfast, because this will tie into what we'll end up talking about with compelled speech.
Sure. So Phyllis Young lives in East Honolulu in a house that she and her husband acquired decades ago, raised their kids in, and their grandparents, so the kids all have their own places to live. And consequently, the Youngs have several bedrooms that are unoccupied. And because they're retired and they wanted extra income, they operate a bed and breakfast out of their home. And they have three bedrooms that can be rented that are vacant, and they rent them based on the market, sometimes one, sometimes none, sometimes three, who knows. They were sued for declining to have two lesbians stay in a bed in their home way back in 2007. The process went through the Civil Rights Commission until 2012, when the litigation got filed. There are two different statutes in Hawaii that should regulate the claim. The plaintiffs, the two lesbians, claimed that because it's a bed and breakfast, it is a public accommodation and therefore should be regulated under the public accommodation law. Our position was it's actually a real estate transaction for the rental of rooms, and there's a statute that regulates that. Both of the statutes prohibit discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. However, the real estate rental statute has an exemption, as does federal law. If you live in the house and you rent fewer than five rooms, you are exempt from the prohibition against discriminating. And our position in the case was that that exemption applied to Phyllis Young's bed and breakfast. So we had a fight over which of those two laws applied to the case. The judge ruled that the hotel law, the public accommodation law, applied, not the exemption law. And so we have appealed that decision. So the case hasn't actually had a trial yet. We're still fighting over which law applies. The appellate court has been sitting on the case for several years, and we're just waiting for an answer as to, is she exempt, in which case the case is over? If she's not exempt, then we go back and have a trial under the public accommodation case, the statute. The interesting thing about that case is, in the conciliation phase with the Civil Rights Commission, the suggestion was made that as part of a resolution of the case, the state would require, and the Youngs would agree, to in perpetuity post inside and outside of their home signs declaring that they wouldn't discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation and the other list of protected classes, which of course the settlement was rejected because there's just no way the government's going to force them to speak words they don't want to speak.
So in the issue of compelled speech, that's what this would be, right? This is the government telling someone what they have to do in their home.
Well, it would have been agreed to by them if it was going to happen. So it's a little bit shy of compelled speech because they said no. The pregnancy center case is actually the legislature compelling the speech. So it's a step further. But I think you're right. They're similar enough. They're cousins.
Well, Well, I think that anyone listening should be concerned that in both of these cases, you have the government stepping in and deciding what someone can do in the confines of their business, in the case of the pregnancy resource centers, or in their home if they're operating their home as a business in the bed and breakfast scenario.
And I would slap you down as absolutely wrong. The pregnancy centers are not businesses, they are ministries. That's a very huge distinction.
It actually is, and I'm glad we're talking about this, because what people who are concerned about this issue are going to hear is they're going to hear that they're businesses. In fact, why don't you tell us some of the fallacies of what people are hearing about these pregnancy resource centers?
Okay, well, based on the testimony at the legislature in the 2017 legislative session in support of SB 501, the compelled speech bill. Proponents of this compelled speech were alleging that pregnancy centers did all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly, untrue things to the poor women who came in with troubled pregnancies, and therefore the legislature needed to compel the pregnancy centers to share particular messages that were contrary to the mission of the pregnancy center. Some of those things included lying about how pregnant they were so that they wouldn't be faced with their abortion cutoff date because they would think they had longer than they actually had. Nobody ever did that as far as any real evidence is concerned.
So the point is that there were concerns that were brought up at the hearing. For anybody who wants to know what these concerns were, you can actually see the testimony that was submitted for the hearings by going to capitol.hawaii.gov.
In addition to this window of opportunity to have an abortion being obscured, allegedly by the pregnancy centers, there was a claim that the pregnancy centers didn't have the licensed professionals, which some pregnancy centers in Hawaii have sonograms and some don't. And the ones that don't have sonograms don't really need medical professionals. They aren't doing medical things. So those didn't have medical professionals. They didn't need them. The ones that have sonograms have medical professionals. So the claim, although barely defensible, was untrue.
How many pregnancy resource centers are we talking about in the state of Hawaii?
There are six. And we being myself as local counsel and Alliance Defending Freedom from Arizona as my co-counsel, have filed a lawsuit challenging SB 501, which is Act 200 of the 2017 legislative session, which is the bill that requires these pregnancy centers to say abortion supportive messaging that they don't want to utter.
Now, what do you say to the critics who say that the sign doesn't say anything? The sign that they're asking that these pregnancy resource centers post doesn't say anything about abortion. The word is not in there. They're not promoting abortion. All they're doing is showing them where they can get access to Quest or that sort of thing. What do you say to that?
Well, there's two different, there's a fork in the road on how to answer that question. On the one hand, legislature has created a particular message, and I don't remember if it's 50 words or 75 words, but it's a message in quotation marks that must be shared by the Christian pregnancy centers. So it doesn't matter what is within the quotation marks. Under the First Amendment, the government can't do that in the context of these pregnancy center ministries. Two, if we were going to argue over the text of the message, what it basically says is that they have to tell the people that come into their ministry office that there is available medical insurance for free to provide comprehensive family planning services that are FDA approved, which includes things that the Christian pregnancy centers don't want to advise people of. That includes abortifacients, which can cause post-pregnancy chemical abortions and also surgical abortions. So the compelled speech is both on its face unconstitutional and as applied, it's unconstitutional.
I've heard you say this before, and I think that it's a good argument to make, that compelled speech is compelled speech no matter what the language is. So would you also be opposed to having Planned Parenthood be compelled by the government to post a sign that tells them where to access a pregnancy resource center?
I think the government shouldn't be compelling anybody in a ministry to say anything. There is a distinction that has to be made, because everybody that eats food sees words on the container, and I would bet hot dog manufacturers wish they didn't have to tell you what hot dogs were made out of. But commercial speech is different from ministry speech, and the First Amendment has different tests for those two kinds of speech. So we have to cast aside the commercial speech. What's tricky about that is everybody's heard about the California case, the Becerra case, which the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals permitted the California law, that's kind of similar to the Hawaii law, to be enforced pending the challenge in court, because the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals affirmed the district court in California ruling that pregnancy center speech that was being compelled was commercial speech. We think that's completely wrong. It's not commercial speech. Pregnancy centers in California in that case have asked the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn the California Ninth Circuit ruling on that case. And actually on September 25th, 2017, the U.S. Supreme Court is going to take up the request that they hear the case, and they will decide sometime after that either to hear the case or not hear the case. We think they probably will hear the case, because two other circuits in the federal judiciary under the U.S. Supreme Court and equally competing with the Ninth Circuit rule the opposite way in two other cases that are very similar. So in order to resolve that seeming distinctly different resolutions of the same situation, the Supreme Court should take the case, and hopefully probably will. But the answer to the question is, I wouldn't want the state of Hawaii to tell anybody they have to publish words, even words I really like Jesus loves you. Because if they can compel somebody to publish the words that Jesus loves you, they can compel you, the same people, later to publish the words that Satan loves you. And I just don't think the government under the First Amendment has that power.
All right, so we're back with Jim Hochberg, who is now going to tell us what the current status is of SB 501, the court case that has already been filed in the state of Hawaii, what to expect coming up, and also what happens with the California case should the Supreme Court accept the case, and what would happen on their ruling. So, Jim.
Okay, so Alliance Defending Freedom and I are representing Calvary Chapel Pearl Harbor, which has a ministry in its church space called A Place for Women in YPO, which is one of the Christian pregnancy centers affected by this law. And we also represent the National Institute of Family and Life Advocates, which people probably know as NIFLA, N-I-F-L-A. And NIFLA represents the member pregnancy centers across the country. They actually were the plaintiff in the California Becerra case. So they represent Malama Pregnancy Center on Maui. They represent the Pearson Foundation, which has two offices on Oahu. And in Kailua Kona on the Big Island, there's a pregnancy center that they also represent. Aloha Pregnancy Center is also a member of NIFLA. And so technically, they are under our complaint as a NIFLA member, but they've also filed a separate lawsuit with the American Center for Law and Justice, which is also has a preliminary injunction motion pending, which we also have. Both motions in both cases will be heard in the federal court in Honolulu on September 22nd. And so the status right now is the state of Hawaii has received both cases and both motions for preliminary injunctions, and they're working on their response. We will get their response and file our reply, and then we will have the hearing in September on the 22nd, and the judge will make its ruling. What we're asking the court to do is what was denied in the California case, and that was when a statute is unconstitutional and somebody challenges the statute's constitutionality, the first question that is asked is, do they have to comply with the law before the case is over and a decision is rendered? And the answer is yes, unless the court grants a preliminary injunction stopping the state from enforcing the law until the case is over. And that's what happened in California. The court said no because it's commercial speech. In Hawaii, we're asking the court to grant the motion and not allow the case to go forward because, number one, it's not commercial speech. California's wrong. But number two, our case is actually different because our statute is different and our plaintiffs are different. So whatever the court did in California wouldn't apply here anyway. And if you want me to explain the differences, I can. It's kind of getting into the weeds, but
well,
if you want.
Well, I think for the regular listeners, for them to understand, because they're going to hear about it, right? I mean, they're going to read about what's happening in California, and they may not be able to make that distinction in their head when they're hearing it. So I guess for this conversation, we'll just stick to what's happening in Hawaii and what to expect. So you said the hearing is on September 22nd. Okay, so is there anything at this point that you would like the faith-based community to do other than pray? Because obviously we're always going to ask for prayer for the judge that's going to be hearing the case, for the attorneys that are representing the pregnancy resource centers. But is there anything specifically that you would like the faith-based community to do to support the pregnancy resource centers?
Well, I think you should call and encourage them. You know, if you live on Maui, call Malama. If you're in Kailua Kona, call those guys. Call Anna and Matt. If you're on Oahu, and if you got a cell phone, you can call anybody anywhere at the same price. But just encourage them. Let them know that you're praying for them. Let them know that you appreciate what they do, because I'm an attorney. I don't care about lawsuits. I'll do that all day long. It's no big deal. But people involved in lawsuits, it's really stressful. If you've never been involved in a lawsuit, you know, it's not on your mind 24/7, but things do come up. And when they come up and the party in the case has to actually answer questions or gather documents or, you know, sign papers, they got to read papers, that stuff creates a lot of stress. So I think it would be really helpful to let the pregnancy centers in Hawaii know that you're supporting them.
Yes, and on this, if you're listening to this podcast, you're looking at our page on HawaiiFamilyForum.org that actually has the podcast listed. So if you look below this podcast, I'm going to provide the links and the phone numbers for the Pregnancy Resource Center. So please do make a call. As always, please, if you're financially able, now is the time to make your donations to the Pregnancy Resource Centers. A couple of you have sent in donations to Hawaii Family Forum asking us to bless the pregnancy centers, and we have done so. So if that will make it easier for you, please do send the money to Hawaii Family Forum with a note, and we'll make sure that the pregnancy resource centers get that donation. The other thing that you can do if you're listening to this is be aware that Planned Parenthood is a machine, and they've got a lot of money, they've got a lot of people, they've got a lot of volunteers, and there is a campaign right now on Yelp to get people to make complaints about the pregnancy resource centers. So the other thing you can do is if you've experienced great service at any of the pregnancy resource centers, now is the time for you to write letters to the editor, for you to send in great reviews on Yelp saying what kind of great service you've got at these pregnancy resource centers, so that people in the media will see that they do a lot of good work.
Well, and there's two other things. If you've never been to the pregnancy center that's near you, make an appointment to come down and have them show you around, and then you'll actually have personal knowledge that you can do a positive Yelp review of what you did learn.
Absolutely.
You know, and the other thing is Alliance Defending Freedom is also a charity. It's a international national law firm. There are more than 3,000 attorneys like myself across the country that affiliate with them to do these cases. And we do the cases pro bono, which means we don't charge for our time. And ADF pays their employed attorneys, not me, but their employed attorneys. And they are also a charity, 501c3, and you can send donations to them in Arizona or adf.org.
I've got a great challenge for any pastors who might be listening to this. I highly encourage you to find the nearest pregnancy resource center and adopt them. In the sense, go visit them, take them under your wing, consider giving them a monthly gift from your church. Offer volunteer services for those of you who may be feeling led to help at the pregnancy resource centers. There's always something for you to do. So please, again, look at the numbers that are listed on this webpage and make contact to the pregnancy resource centers. They'll tell you what their needs are.
And the other thing that people can do on the 22nd is, in the United States and in the state of Hawaii, as one of those states, court proceedings are open to the public if it's not a family law private proceeding. So this court proceeding on the 22nd in Judge Watson's courtroom is open to the public. It's at 9 o'clock, I believe. And if you want to sit in the courtroom, quietly pray in the courtroom, observe the proceeding, show your support for the pregnancy centers by being there, I think the federal courtrooms probably hold 150 to 200 people. There's a lot of seats, and they're very comfortable, actually, not like the state courthouses. It's at the federal courthouse on Ala Moana Boulevard and Punch Bowl. You know, you got to go through all that crazy security to get in, so come early. Join us on the 22nd of September at the hearing.
If you want more information, give me a call in the office. Our contact information is right here on the bottom of this page that you're looking at. The other thing is, we're asking for you to show Christian decorum if you do go into the courtroom. We're not calling for activists right now. We're not calling for people to carry big signs. In fact, signs may not be allowed.
They're not permitted. No kind of outbursts or anything. It's just listening.
So if this is what the Lord is calling you to do, then yes, we encourage you to be there. But we want to make it clear that we're not looking, right now we're not calling for the activists to bring out their signs and whatnot. We're asking you to bring out your greatest weapon, and that is prayer. So we're looking forward to being with Alliance Defending Freedom, Jim Hochberg, the ACLJ, and the Aloha Pregnancy Care and Counseling Center as they continue this battle. And of course, our prayers are with Calvary Chapel Pearl Harbor, because as you mentioned, their pregnancy resource center is located on church property. For those of you...
So actually, pause right there, because people need to think about that. The state legislature has decreed from on high that Pastor Darrell Skinner's church has to post a sign with quoted words on it in his church building. That should outrage everybody.
Every pastor who's listening needs to take heart to this, because if you don't have a pregnancy resource center in your church ministry, maybe you have a counseling ministry, maybe you have a homeless ministry, maybe you have a ministry that helps with homework or prison ministry. Remember that this is the government compelling Calvary Chapel Pearl Harbor what to post on their church walls, and they could be coming after you next.
And it's not just that the government is commanding that the words be uttered on a 24/7 posted sign basis, but the law, and this is not part of the California case, this is one of the critical distinctions, the law in Hawaii essentially deputized every single person and entity, corporation, partnership, nonprofit, for-profit, whatever have you, to be a deputy to enforce this law. Lawsuits can be filed by any what is described as aggrieved person, and the statute expressly says person includes natural people and legal persons, and legal persons includes Planned Parenthood, NARAL, all those social service agencies that want our kids to have abortions in high school. So any of those quote-unquote aggrieved persons can file a lawsuit if they don't like the fact that a pregnancy center participation in the requirements of this lawsuit don't measure up to what that aggrieved person thinks should have happened, they can get treble damages. They can be $1,000 on top of that. So this is serious business. If you have a homeless ministry, perhaps the legislature is going to want you to post a very similar sign. They need to know where to get free health insurance, which includes comprehensive birth control.
What about youth ministry? If you're youth dealing ministry? With youth, maybe they want the youth to know that these...
Where to get free money get for them. Abortions. Yes. You betcha. So this is not something that doesn't concern you. This concerns every ministry.
Yes. So please, everyone, stay connected with Hawaii Family Forum so that we can keep you up to date. And as always, if you're led, please do consider giving a donation to Hawaii Family Forum so we can continue these kind of educational outreaches in the community. We want to help you. Next year, 2018, will make 20 years. Hawaii Family Forum will have been in the state of Hawaii working with the faith-based community. Help keep us here. And in the meantime, stay tuned. Our next guest is going to be Janet Hochberg, Jim's beautiful wife. And we are going to talk about abortion and Hawaii and history and exactly why we're where we're at in the state of life in this beautiful place we call home. Aloha everybody, this was Eva Andrade, Hawaii Family Forum. We appreciate you joining us on our Ohana podcast. We look forward to you joining us next time. Mahalo, have a great day.